like this on a day to just reflect on our journey as homeschoolers, our journey in teaching our children, and the things that we face and walk through on a continual regular level. And it's good to just be refreshed. We need that sometimes, don't we? We really do. The title, if you look at your bulletin there, the title here is Peace Be Still. And I trust this morning, as we look at the day, some of the goals that we have for today, this can be a time when moms and dads, maybe there's renewed visions. Maybe there's visions that are and get established. Maybe we're walking through a bit of a low time and we just simply need encouragement. Or maybe, it's a good time to just together, we're on this journey together and we can all help each other. So for us and our family, things are at a little bit different place today than they were 10 years ago. Today there's only one in school, where in bygone days we had quite a few. So things are sort of turning for us quite significantly. So it keeps, as time goes on, there's a change with things. But as we consider this idea of peace be still, I like to give you a little story. This summer, as some of you know, Martha and I and our various ones of our children had the privilege of being in Alaska. We spent a weekend with some brethren up there, and then we spent some time touring around. And when we were touring around, there was this, we had the privilege of being on a little boat. There's this small boat in Homer, Alaska. Homer is one of, it's a halibut capital of the U.S. It's a small fishing town. And we sat in this little boat, and we had this little captain, and he took us out. There's a little village that's on the water. There's various things he was taking us around and showing us. And as we went and we traveled around in this channel, it's a channel off the ocean. And in this channel, as we traveled around, everything was nice and calm. Toward the end, the waves were picking up a bit. But it was very nice. It was just very nice that afternoon. But as we went, he told us this story. He told us this story. He said, I've been a captain and I've been a fisherman all my life. And here he was in his 60s. And he said, a number of years ago, I'd be, for a month at a time, we would be out on this 40-foot fishing vessel. And on this 40-foot fishing vessel, we'd be out there and we'd fish. We'd fish, and we'd have people come buy our fish and take them off to the shore. And he said, there's a day that we got this notice. We heard there's a storm coming. And of course, there's a lot of storms out at sea, right? But he said there was this storm coming. And as it got closer, we realized that this is indeed going to be a storm. And he said this, that he said, we decided we'd better head for shore. As it got worse, they took off because this is going to be a big storm. And they, this 40-foot fishing vessel, it's a good-sized vessel. And they went toward the channel. They were out deep sea, and they went toward the channel. And as they were going toward the channel, the storm came at its worst. And it was nighttime. It was dark and it was nighttime. And they were moving in toward this channel. And he said there was 30-foot waves, 25 and 30-foot waves. And he said it was so intense. He said it was so intense that, you know, we were nosing toward the channel. But he said as we were going, he said we came to the place where we realized if we keep going the way we are, this vessel will definitely sink. Water is going to come overboard. And so what they would do is they would, as each big wave came and they were headed toward this channel, as each wave came, they would have, you know, he would have his hand on the throttle and he moved forward. And as a wave came at a certain place, he would put it into reverse and he'd back away from it and ride with the wave. And he knew that if he wouldn't do this, these waves would actually overtake them and the boat would sink. And so all night long in this endeavor to get into the channel, into shore, they were trying, they were fighting that, you know, they were fighting the storm. In the next morning, they finally made it in. Sometimes, you know, that's a quite dramatic story, right? You know, that's, that's pretty major. There's two of them that took turns that night, all night long. Now, I'd like to take you to maybe a scene that happened at our home. I'm not sure how to say it. Martha says this. She said it happened. I don't know if frequent is the right word, but it happened often enough. Now, as homeschooling moms, in homeschool, you have children in the home. There's things going on. You have younger children crying. And there's times that the home, you know, it might not be like that. It might not be like that fishing vessel, right? It might not be that bad. But there are times in the homes that moms feel just like that, right? It feels like unless we make some adjustments here, unless there's something happens, the water's going to come in and this boat might actually sink. Now, Martha says this. She says that it wasn't uncommon during the day, you know, trying to homeschool. There was, you know, children sitting there doing their lessons and the younger ones crying and, you know, just lots of stuff going on. And then children becoming cranky and then mom becoming frustrated and maybe a little bit cranky. Okay, now, you all would never do that. You as moms, you would never do that. But, you know, when things unravel, right, when the waves come to a place where it's just pretty serious. Okay, now I want to tell you something. This is something that happened. You know, we're talking about peace. Be still, right? Peace, be still. One of the things that was a very normal thing to happen in our home, when the waves came to a certain level, and the level of frustration and everything that was going on came to a certain level, Martha would call all the children together. All the school was left over there. Everything was left. All the little babies, all the children, she'd gather all together in the living room. She'd gather them all together. Mom would kneel down there with this little circle of children. And Mom would say, "Children, I'm sorry that I was frustrated. Children, somehow we need God's help here. children, somehow we need you to come to where we have God helping us. How can we help ask God to help us? You know, the storms, you know, so the waves come down a little bit. It was very normal for that to happen. And all the children, mom and all the children, they'd pray. They'd say, God, would you please help me? And if you can just imagine the things that that did in the hearts of mom and all the children to have that peace and rest come into the home, right? For the peace and the rest to come into the home. Now, in Genesis, in Galatians, it talks about, Galatians 5, it talks about peace. And it refers to peace as a fruit of the Spirit. It says it this way, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So it's putting peace in here as a fruit that comes from God Almighty. It's a fruit, it's something that we get from God. It's something that we have within us as a result of God giving it to us. And in our homes, we will most certainly have tumultuous times and things when, you know, times when those waves get pretty serious at times. We will most certainly have that. How do we bring peace into the home? There is a peace that the world gives, but then there's also a peace from God. In John 14, 26, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. So see here the difference? There's a worldly peace and there's a peace from God. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, this term peace is used in four different ways throughout the Bible. It's peace as the absence of war or chaos. It's peace as a right relationship with God or Christ. It's peace when we have a good relationship with people. It's peace as an individual virtue or state, tranquility or serenity. So this word peace is used in four different ways in Scripture, four different ways. Peace from God within us, expressing itself. It's a fruit of the Spirit. There is also a worldly peace, a peace that comes from the world as well. Why is peace so critical in our lives? Why is it? Why is peace critical in the home? Why is it that we desire peace in the home and peace in our personal lives and peace in the church and, you know, all those places? The workplace, why is it that we want peace? In the absence of peace, when there's no peace, you bring the opposite. And when the waves are high, tell me this. When the waves are high, how many fish do you think they're catching? Anyone? None. When the waves are high, how much do you think they're sleeping? When the waves are high, how much do you think they're eating? Do you follow? There's something, there's a need for peace. And the greater the peace, I like to suggest that the greater the level of peace within the home, the more that our children are going to be at a place of rest to be able to do their lessons and get a good, solid education. And thus, the title that we have here on the whole day, peace, right? Okay, that's the reason. As we look at education, as we look at a good, solid education, that's one of the basic reasons. If the more that there's peace, peace in the home, peace in the heart, peace in various places, the greater the ability to give our children a good, solid education. When there's unrest and confusion in the home, there will be disrespect to parents. There's going to be strife. There's going to be fighting. There's going to be difficulty learning. There will tend to be a pursuing after fleshly desires. I mean, consider with me, wherever there is confusion in the home, in the absence of peace, there's a rise of fleshly desires and fleshly things. There will be a rise of that. How does peace enter the home? How does it enter the home? Peace enters a home as a result of parents being right with God and following biblical principles. First of all, parents, moms and dads, being right with God. And secondly, I'm going to suggest following solid biblical principles. When there's a mom and dad that function in their proper God-given roles, children that are loved and nurtured and guided and disciplined, respect and kindness toward siblings. And I'm just going to say this. When there's a mom and a dad that have, first of all, love, the love of God within their hearts. And then I'm going to take it a step farther and just simply say, walking in simple biblical principles of God's word, it brings peace. Let me just mention a couple of those with you. Simple biblical principles: love, respect, in honor, preferring one another. Can you just imagine the children in honor, preferring one another? And these things happen from the parents to the children, children to each other. They're taught. Where there is order, there's order. Where there's discipline, not allowing myself to be offended, not reacting to each other, being under authority. Okay, do you follow? Okay. Peace comes when we have God within us, and then we simply walk in just basic, practical principles, just applying those in a very practical way. Now, we can have the peace of God in our hearts, but maybe we're not responding in these other issues the way God wants us to in these solid biblical principles. Now, Our goal here is to have, one of the purposes for homeschool is to have a good, solid relationship / education that will repeat itself generation after generation. Now, in Psalm chapter 78, in verse 1, it says these words, And specifically, it mentions five generations. And I sat here reading about the five different generations, and I thought about it to my own self. And Psalm 78, in verse 5, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers." Who's my father? Can anyone tell me who's my father? What? Ezra. That's generation number one. That they should make it known to their children. That's Mark. That second generation. That the generation to come, our oldest son's name is Brandon. That's number three, right? That the generation to come, Brandon, might be known of them, even the children that should be born. Even the children that should be born. And what's our oldest son Brandon's oldest daughter's name? Maya. That's generation number four. Who should arise and declare it to their children? Five generations. That's my great-grandchildren. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. We're here, and apart, while there's other ways of schooling, there's a Christian day school, and there's other ways, but we've chosen to homeschool. And one of the goals is that the faith would keep on going from one generation to the next. Here's some overarching goals of home education. I have seven. Number one, spiritual input. It's an opportunity for moms and dads to have strong spiritual input into our children. Number two, that they learn with God in everything they face all day long. Now, can you just imagine that little picture that I gave you of our home when mom gathers all the children together and there's a crying with each other and there's a praying to God and asking God for grace and help, and there's a peace and a rest that comes, and they all go about their school and playing and various things again. Okay, do you follow? Do you follow what's happening? Spiritual input. They learn to walk and to trust God. Yeah, number three, to build relationships between parents and children. Number four, a good solid education. A good solid education. A good solid education that will help them on this journey of life. How sad would it be if our children would grow up and they wouldn't be able to, in a very good, solid way, do mathematics? And the hindrance of that would be when they want to do finances, all of those things, and just practical living. Homeschool, teaching our children and giving them a good, solid education. Not only in math, but there's reading and writing. And I know that in this group, even here today, there's some that are excelling in these things. And there's articles being written and even books being written. And there's various things. There's a good, solid education that's sustainable. Number five, a good worldview. A good worldview. And I'm just saying these are the overarching principles, a good worldview. Helping our children have a good worldview of why we're in this world. You know, we're here and we find ourselves in these little, we're caught up in our everyday, doing our everyday things. But helping them get a big worldview is one of the goals. Number six, helping our daughters learn to cook, how to keep order in the home, and how to manage the home when mom is gone. how to manage the home when they become a keeper in home. Number seven, learning a good work ethic. We're teaching them these things. And I'm just going to say that these are the overarching goals. And we can help our children really learn to walk with God, have a good, solid education that can be passed on from generation to generation. It's God's will. Do the blessings outweigh the burdens of homeschool? Do the blessings outweigh the burdens? Do they? Do they? My wife, after us having eight children, she says this. She says, it's not a picnic. It's not a piece of cake. It's not an easy feat, but I do it all over again. I do it all over again. The privilege and the opportunity that it gets to spend time with the children, to build relationships, to teach and to guide their lives day after day, there's nothing that replaces that. And by the way, this is how a mom's life looks. A mom who has a row of young children, and there's lunch to cook, and there's dishes to wash, and there's laundry to do, and there's children to discipline, and there's faces to wash, and there's dresses to sew, and there's pants with holes to patch, and there's school to teach, and there's children to train, and messes to clean, and noses to wipe, and ouches to blow, and supper to make, and garden to plant, and to keep clean, and to harvest, and canning, and to keep the freezers full, and everything else that goes with that. Mom's life is a busy life, right? But dads, we need to step up and be there for our wives and help support and walk beside. It will. It will. Let me share this yet. There are, in home education, in home school, there are some flat spots. There are some flat spots. And the more we can be aware of the flat spots, the more we can overcome them. And let me just give you five tendencies for flat spots in homeschool education. Let me just give you five. There will tend to be a lack of respect toward other authorities in their life. So in other words, maybe we're at someone else's house and things are sort of, you know, dad walks out and there's a bunch of children there and dad says, hey, things need to, you know, just calm down, let's do this. And dad gives direction to a number of children. There is a tendency for a homeschooled child to say, you're not my dad. Why do I have to obey you? All right. Oh, do you follow? That's a flat spot. And if that's a flat spot, so dad and moms, we've got some work to do on that one, right? In school, they learn to respect other authorities. That's a flat spot. Here's another one. Children are quicker to be poor losers. Poor losers. When playing games with other children, sometimes children don't learn how to lose with a good attitude as quick when they're not intermingling with a broader crowd. That's a flat spot. And we can overcome that, right? We can overcome that. If we're aware, we can work on that. Here's another one. Not learning to play with other children in a respectful way. And let me say it this way. If I say learning to play with other children in a respectful way, you know, we're with some other children and boys go around pushing each other and there's, you know, just being a bit crude and being, not as respectful to other children like they should be. Moms and dads, Those are areas you can work on. Here's another one. Lack of structure in the school. I'm just going to say that in homeschool education, there's times when there's a lack of structure in the home. Because, you know, if you have school, then it's time to get up, be in school. When it's at home, maybe it's not as structured as it needs to be, and our children don't learn proper structure and discipline like they should. Dads, that's your responsibility, right? Put things in place in the home and make that there's proper structure. Here's another one. A tendency to neglect school and allow other things to be more important. That's a flat spot. That's a flat spot. Moms and dads, we dare not neglect a good, solid education for our children. The Lord bless you.
Thank you for that, Brother Mark. It's very good encouragement.